Issues, Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues, Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support. Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's Thursday afternoon, July the 16th. Greg Kokol joins us. Well, the story in the news recently was of IDA, this apparently transitional form, that's what they call it in paleontology, missing link. Now, we're told on a regular basis in the popular media about missing links in evolution, be it human evolution or other biological evolution. And honestly, I don't know what to do with them because I'm not a biologist. I'm not a paleontologist. I don't know very much about fossils. So how do we respond to these things? Those of us who do not believe that evolution answers the question, where did we come from? Where did life come from? But have other answers, intelligent design, biblical creation. How do we evaluate the claims that are surrounding things like the missing link? Greg Kokol joins us. He's founder of Stand to Reason based in Signal Hill, California. And he's author of the new book, Tactics, a Game Plan for Discussing Your Christian Convictions. Greg, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd. Good to talk to you again today.
When I pick up National Geographic or I pick up the newspaper or see it on television, hear it on the radio, a claim about a transitional form, a missing link, someplace in the chain of evolution, whatever it may be, what's the first piece of information I need to be cued into, I need to understand or be looking for?
Well, the process of critical thinking follows a couple of very simple, straightforward steps. And the very, very critical thinking being, how do you assess the claims of somebody's ideas? Are the ideas good or are they bad? And the very first step is you've got to get a clear fix on what the claim itself is. That is, what are the facts? What are people saying is the case, I guess, is the better point. This one is pretty obvious with IDA. The claim here is that IDA is a missing link on the evolutionary chain of development from much lower mammals to higher primates, including human beings. And so, in fact, the news that came out regarding IDA was so unbelievable, it even made a lot of the scientists uncomfortable because it was so over the top. But this was supposed to be not only the missing link, but our earliest ancestor. It was the holy grail of science, you know. It actually attained somewhat of a celebrity status. So what is it that's making all of the fuss here? And I think for us then, it is not for us to say first, gee, I don't like this. I'm going to ignore it. I'm going to make fun of it. I'm going to ridicule it. I'm going to say it must be false. Those shouldn't be our first steps. Our first steps in clear thinking is to, even if this seems to threaten us, and a lot of times these kinds of discoveries do look threatening to what we believe, what our convictions are, we take a deep breath and ask the first question, okay, what is the specific claim? Tell me what you think this means. What are you advancing? So then once you get that point, what you're advancing, in other words, this is the missing link that proves evolution, then the next step follows quickly on its heels, and that is, you know, like the movie Show Me the Money. Well, this one is Show Me the Facts. What are the facts? What are the pieces of evidence that people have drawn from to make this conclusion that they're promoting? Now, those are the first two steps. The third we'll talk about in a moment. But if followers of Christ would simply and not, instead of getting upset or angry or defensive or belittling when things counter to their views surface in public, if they just take a deep breath and then look at the pieces, the public pieces, the newspaper articles, whatever it is, and try to just sort through all the falderaw, all the glamour, the rhetoric, whatever it is, and then try to isolate those two things. Here is what they're trying to prove. Here's what they say is so. And now here are the reasons they think that what they say is actually so. You know, it's very straightforward there. If they would do that, they would have a simple method that will get them going here to actually be able to do some clear thinking assessment of the challenge.
So it may well be that if you pick up an article about an alleged missing link, if you evaluate the actual claim being made, be it, say, a scientific journal or in the popular press, you may discover, going only for the claim itself to begin with, that it's not actually – the headline might be misleading.
Actually, in this case, that is the case. When you look at the PR, and this is something to always keep in mind, Todd, as you know, with the press, if it bleeds, it leads. You know, they like to make a big deal about a small thing because that's what gets circulation. And it is not unusual for the media then to jump when there's the least suggestion that something that they cherish is being substantiated, whether it's, you know, homosexuality or abortion or, you know, or Darwinian, a blind watchmaker kind of evolution. And so that's the case here. Unfortunately, in this particular case, the scientists themselves were implicit, or complicit, rather, in the process, because when this fossil was actually found in 1983 in Germany, in the Messel pit there, which is a, you know, kind of a fossil graveyard, and it's a magnificent fossil. It is very unique in its own terms because it's so detailed. There's a lot you can learn about the paleobiology, in other words, the biological systems of this creature, regardless of its role in the evolutionary development timetable. It's magnificent. But they also saw some things in this that suggested its connection with human evolution. And so they kind of kept it under wraps, did all their work, wrote a book, did a documentary, and it was all released at once. Hey, we've got this fossil. Here's the book on it, a popular book. Here's the documentary that's going to be aired in 2 days. In other words, they did all of this work before they really had a chance for aggressive peer review by other people who knew a few things about the discipline to see if maybe they had made some missteps in their analysis. And so when all of this came out, a whole bunch of the scientists in the field stepped right up to the plate and said, you know, these guys have gone way too far. The problem is the rank and file only hear the PR that's promoted by the History Channel or Discovery Channel or something like that. They don't hear the sober-minded peer review coming from people in their own field that even agree with their broad philosophy about Darwinism, but don't think that this particular find is up to snuff for the claims. That's something that can be discovered rather quickly if we do a little bit of analysis, like you mentioned.
So it sounds as though what you're saying is after you've assessed the claim, or after you have established what the claim is, It might be good to just wait a while to see what other knowledgeable people with expertise say about it before you draw your conclusions.
Yeah, unfortunately, a lot of people who are inclined to believe this kind of stuff are drawing their own conclusions, and they're coming public with it. You know, I just did a quick survey of the internet, people responding to this. This is the rank and file, and they would say, okay, creationists, pack it up. Darwin was right. You just heard the news. Thanks for playing, you know. And or God gets tinier and tinier. What a wonderful discovery. Or it's time for the lazy Christian creationists at the Dishonesty Institute to wake up and smell the coffee, basically. And these people are reacting this way, even though the evidence itself doesn't justify it. I find that usually when something like this comes out, if you look around a little bit, you're going to find, as I did, without much trouble, those who are raising principled concerns about the evidence that is being used to promote the conclusions that are advanced in this. And this is, you know, you're back to the issue of peer review. You mentioned, Todd, at the beginning of our conversation here that you're not a biologist, you're not a paleontologist, you're not a specialist in the field, and neither am I. But if we sharpen our skills a little bit as critical thinkers, you can see when, you know, nonsense is going on, even if you don't have the full background. And there's enough people out there that are biologists and paleontologists, etc., that are concerned about the integrity of the process, that when there are problems, they'll point them out. And in this piece that I wrote for Solid Ground on IDA that came out, I guess, the beginning of this month, I cite some of these guys that were very easy to find, and they basically are saying, hey, hold your horses, not so fast. So, the peer review stuff surfaces rather quickly, at least to put the brakes on, if anybody's listening. And this is the stuff that I was able to find quickly. There is an interesting fact, though, even about those who said, wait, not so fast, that this conclusion is not justified by the evidence. It turns out that they still believe in the broader conclusion, and that is Darwinian evolution, even though they're admitting that the so-called transitional forms turn out not to be adequate to make the case. And so that's kind of an interesting little development there, and I see that kind of thing a lot.
We're talking with Greg Kokol, how to respond to reports and claims of the missing link in the chain of evolution. He's founder of Stand to Reason, based in Signal Hill, California, author of the new book titled Tactics, A Game Plan for Discussing Your Christian Convictions. You know, it strikes me at this point in our conversation that what Greg has pointed out is not only applicable to claims of a missing link, but any kind of truth claims, any claim whatsoever. How do you go about it? It's simple critical thinking, something that is in some ways a lost art among Christians, one that we would do well to regain, not only because we have to deal with truth claims all around us all the time that we might suspect are wrong, but we also have truth claims of our own. If we want a level playing field for truth in that open forum of ideas, then we would also encourage others to take our truth claims in exactly the same way. Don't take my word for it. Evaluate what my claim is, and then, as we're going to talk about on the other side of the break, note whatever inferences or implications others have drawn, and then really the crowning achievement of any effort in critical thinking is to draw your own conclusion. They used to call it thinking for yourself. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. When we come back from this break, more with Greg Kokol.
How the editor could really wash the meaning out. What it's all about. I found the missing link. I think I found the missing link.
Here's a new way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Check out our page on Facebook. Network with fellow Issues Etc. junkies. Sign up to become a fan, and we'll send you updates on future topics and guests. You'll even find photos of in-studio guests, Todd drinking chelada, and highlights from our one-year anniversary open house. You'll discover that Todd, Jeff, and Craig really do have faces for radio on Facebook. Issues Etc. on Facebook. Another way to stay connected to Issues Etc. www.facebook.com.
Thanks to God's gift of the internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
From Japan to Oslo, Norway, here is Simon. Simon, welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, I want to vote for Benny Hinn. My reason for doing so is because, Jesus, the second Adam, ascended to heaven, so I guess there's some truth to it.
Thank you very much. Apparently, they have senses of humor in Norway. Thank you very much for listening in Norway.
Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world. Issues, etc.
Treadmill for the mind. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues, etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology. issuesetc.org.
to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Greg Kokel is our guest, author of the new book, Tactics, a Game Plan for Discussing Your Christian Convictions. You can purchase Tactics under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Issuesetc.org. Click on demand. Okay, Greg, after we have figured out what the claim actually is, and we're kind of in the middle of talking about the inferences and implications others have drawn. I talked with a guest on this, on Ida in particular, when the claims were hot and heavy in the press, and he is a professor emeritus of anatomy, I believe, at Washington University in St. Louis, Dr. David Menton. And he said, you know, going back through the history of this particular fossil claim is interesting because the first time it was presented formally in a scholarly paper, it was presented as a transitional form between wolf and whale.
Huh.
And I thought to myself, well, that's interesting. And his take on it was, well, sounds like the claim has evolved as well as the alleged creature.
Right, right. Well, sometimes that happens in science and in theology even. So, you know, I'm not too troubled by that. But I think it whatever the claim is that is presented at any given time, the claim itself has to be assessed on the merits, which is our third step here. By the way, since you mentioned the book Tactics, you might have recognized that what I suggested here as a basic plan for critical thinking really follows our questions in the Columbo Tactic, which is the core tactic of the book Tactics, a game plan for discussing your Christian convictions. That is, you're asking the question, what do you mean by that? What's the claim? And then how did you come to that conclusion? What is the evidence? Now, once you get the claim or the point of view clearly in focus, and then you lay the evidence out for it, then you're in a position to do the third step. And the third step is sometimes almost does itself or accomplishes itself, and that is that you see if there's a good matchup between the evidence and the claim. Sometimes I tell people just to take the evidence and connect it with the claim with the word therefore. So there's this, there's this, there's this. Therefore, Darwinian evolution is established because this is a transitional form or something like that. And you're going to see that a lot of times the conclusion doesn't even come close to following the evidence. And that's exactly what we face here with Ida. The real question here, Todd, is whether or not this is a transitional form and whether we have good reason to believe that Ida is an ancestor to all human beings. And it's interesting the way they deal with the issue. One of the reasons they think it's a transitional form is because Ida is a mammal who lacks some anatomical features of lemurs, which he generally falls in that class, but has other features that are more like monkeys and primates. So she doesn't have the right teeth for lemurs. She has teeth that are more like monkeys. She has nails rather than claws. She has forward-facing eyes like ours, so she has 3D vision, not like other lemurs. And so it's possible then in one's mind to think of this as transitioning from the kind of lemur stage into the primate stage. And what this points out is what I think it turns out to be two different ways of looking at transitional forms. And I'll try to give the simplest illustration that I possibly can. If you were to, say, make a cartoon the old-fashioned way, you'd have a series of images on a pad of paper, maybe, and some people have done this with stick figures, where you just make small changes from sheet to sheet, and then you flip them with your thumb, and you can see them flowing from one to another, and the stick figure seems to be walking or playing or whatever. Well, that's something like what a transitional forms amount to. If you were to look at time-lapse photography down through history, you'd see these changing forms, one connected to the other by minor changes. Now, if you could actually see this in the fossil record, a step-by-step minor change from one thing to the other, you'd be much more justified in suggesting that you have transitional form, one thing transitioning into the other, the lemur into the monkey into the man, so to speak. In this particular case, though, what do you have if we're continuing to follow our cartoon illustration? You have a picture on one page of your flip pad of a lemur, And then further down the deck, after a number of blank pages, you have a picture of, say, a Lucy, which is the oldest hominid that we have a record of, you know, the famous Lucy from years back. Okay, so how many pages are there that are blank between Ida and Lucy? 40 million. 40 million pages, if we take, you know, 1 year as a page, say 1 year as a generation. That is a lot of space between the two. Now, are we just, what justifies then us putting Ida and Lucy in the same stack, in the same sequence? Well, I'll tell you what justifies us to doing that, the evolutionary paradigm itself. Because they view anything that is intermediate between two other things, time-wise and in developmental features, as necessarily a missing link because the paradigm requires it. Never mind you don't have these connectors for 40 million years. That's irrelevant. It's still a missing link. Now, that strikes me as pretty weak evidence, because a whole lot can happen in 40 million pages, blank pages in this particular case. And so it's clear that they are stretching the evidence, and the reason that they're stretching the evidence is they are clearly convinced of the evolutionary paradigm, and even if it's tortured logic and tortured evidence, they're still going to believe it. As Henry G., a paleontologist, says, even though he acknowledges this problem that he calls deep time, he says, evolution is not in doubt because if we didn't have ancestors, then we wouldn't be here, quote unquote. Obviously, circular reasoning.
Yes, that's what I was going to ask, I guess, to cap this all off, not only in general with regard to the claims of transitional forms, but also with regard to Ida. It sounds as though it's begging the question, classically
yes.
Begging the question. 1 minute to respond.
Well, in some sense, with science as an enterprise, you have to start with an idea, and then you got to try to make the evidence fit your idea to see if it's really work. It fulfills the predictions. The problem is when you have a very, very strong philosophic commitment to the idea because of a metaphysical view, materialism, that you then overlook the paucity of empirical evidence or even empirical evidence that sends you in a different direction. That's the problem. There's no problem with kind of starting with your conclusion and seeing if the evidence matches. That's the way science, in a sense, methodologically works a lot of time. But if you become a slave to that, if you become a slave to your idea regardless of the evidence, then you've got a serious problem. And I think that's exactly what's happening here.
Greg Kokel is founder of Stand to Reason, based in Signal Hill, California. He's author of the new book, Tactics, A Game Plan for Discussing Your Christian Convictions. Greg, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being our guest.
Great talking with you, Todd. Thank you.
We've got to be careful that we're thinking clearly. That's why we sit down and we try and map it out this way. I need this, folks. I need a kind of a regular refresher on how to think clearly. I'm not prone to think clearly. I'm prone to substitute my presuppositions for my conclusions, and I'm prone to all of the errors in thinking that we find replete in claims like a missing link. So if I'm prone to do it, others will be prone to do it. I need to think clearly. This is just doing one another a favor, ultimately. Now, do I believe that these transitional forms, the claims to them, are true? No, I don't. But I do need to admit that the reason I don't believe they're true initially is because I have presuppositions against them. But that's not the only reason. What I need to do is be able to think clearly, help other people think clearly, you and me and all of us together, trying to think clearly together, so that although I may presuppose that they're wrong, and I think for very good reasons, I do ultimately need to examine the claim. What are our choices? To dismiss these claims? Can't be true. Bible says it isn't. Well, how did you get to that conclusion? Be honest. One of the biggest things in critical thinking is simple honesty. Walk me through the steps that you took in your mind with the facts, with the evidence, that led you to the conclusion that you have drawn. So when you see a headline, Remember, you're reading a conclusion. It may be justified, it may not be. And if it's a claim of a missing link, then you have to go back and say, is this what the scientists are really claiming? What do other scientists think about it? And then look at the facts. Look at the presuppositions, sometimes expressed, sometimes unexpressed, sometimes open and sometimes hidden, and your own as well. And then you draw your own conclusion. You know, reason, even for Christians, is no enemy of the truth. Is reason fallen and corrupt? Absolutely. That's why we don't think clearly, Christians and non-Christians. But reason properly practiced, carefully executed, and in service of the truth that God has revealed to us, is no enemy of the truth at all. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.